Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. Before we begin, please let me introduce my colleagues, Jörg Bettenhausen, Head of Finance and Accounting, as well as Christian Herrmann, Head of Investor Relations. Both will assist me today to answer your questions. We would like to give you as much as possible the chance to ask questions. Therefore, I will concentrate only on a brief introduction. I assume you already had the chance to have a look at our interim report, which we published today. During the second quarter, we saw a healthy development in the global fertilizer market. Changing nutritional needs towards a higher meat consumption in many emerging countries have a long-lasting impact on global fertilizer demand. Second quarter potash revenues benefited from substantially higher prices compared to the same quarter last year. These price increases more than offset lower overseas volumes, especially in Brazil. In Europe, we saw sales volumes picking up significantly after the typically strong fertilizer season in quarter one had a late start because of the long winter. Not only potash, but also Fertiva experienced a strong quarter. Accelerating demand for nitrogen fertilizers and limited supply led to rising price levels. While energy and ammonia prices remained on a high level, freight costs temporarily came down. We saw a similar freight cost pattern last year, and we expect them to rise again during the second half of the year. It is important to note that K+S benefits from below-market freight rates due to long-term contracts and container deliveries. K+S quarter two revenues increased by 10%, while operating earnings rose by 157%. Price increases and, on the other side, efficiency gains led to this very positive result. Now, the second slide shows our profit and loss statement for the second quarter on an IFRS basis. Revenues were up by 64.2 million euro, or 10%, on last year, mainly caused by a sharp increase of world market prices for potash and nitrogen fertilizers. Moreover, our internal efficiency programs are on track so that operating earnings, EBIT 1, grew over proportionally by 39.2 million euro, or 157%. Apart from services and trading, all business segments were able to improve their operating earnings. Earnings after market value changes, the so-called EBIT 2, heavily depend on non-cash changes in the market value of our U.S. dollar options. At the end of June 2005, the U.S. dollar was close to our lower knockout barrier and caused market values of our derivatives to be markedly lower. Without this effect, adjusted earnings after taxes increased by 27 million euro, or almost tripled. This brings us now to the half-year numbers. Revenues rose by 106.4 million euro, or 8%, compared to last year. Operating earnings, EBIT 1, went up by 57.2 million euro, or 54%. EBIT 2 varied only slightly from EBIT 1 because positive market value changes in quarter 1 were almost balanced out by negative ones in quarter two. Taxes increased in line with higher pre-tax profits, while 22 million euro or 58 million euro were non-cash effective. Adjusted earnings after taxes reached 101.8 million euro, that is an increase of 37.3 million euro or 58% on last year. Now a brief glance at our balance sheet as of 30th of June. The positive development in net income made equity rise significantly to 952.3 million euro. This results in a ratio of 43% of the balance sheet total. Working capital rose by €61.8 million, which was mainly caused by higher receivables and inventories. Capital expenditure for the first 6 months amounted to €37.5 million and was thus down 20% on the figure for the same period last year. This is mainly attributable to the successful completion of the brine field expansion in the salt business segment, as well as the completion of the sylvinite project in the potash and magnesium product business segment. Next slide shows that cash flow figures for the first 6 months were positive. Gross cash flow increased by €21 million, or 14%, due to improved earnings and despite higher taxes. For the same reason, cash flow from operating activities was up by €33 million. Free cash flow in the first half year improved by even €119 million because the figure of 2004 was burdened by the ESCO acquisition. At the end of June, our net liquid funds reached €226.6 million, €58.6 million more than a year ago. Now, finally, our outlook for the year 2005. We expect the positive trends experienced in the first half of the year to continue over the coming two quarters. Revenues should fall within a range of 2.6 to 2.8 billion euro. In terms of operating earnings, EBIT1, we even expect a strong improvement year on year as long as no significant follow-up hedging is required. We expect EBIT1 to amount to between 215 and 230 million euro. The increase in prices for potash and magnesium products, the impact of earnings of the sylvinite production, as well as the full implementation of more flexible working hours in the potash and magnesium products business segment, should contribute to the increase in our operating results. Subject to these conditions, adjusted earnings per share should amount to between 2.95 and 3.30 euro per share. Thank you very much for your attention. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are eager to listen to your questions.
Thank you, sir. If any participant wishes to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question.
Please.
Thank you. The first question comes from Mr. Andreas Heim. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Andreas Heim from HVB. At first, I'd like to thank you for the guidance you have given. That is very helpful, as your increase is very strong, and then it might be very difficult to get any real good estimate for this. Now to the questions. At first, in the prices, you have seen a quite nice increase in from the first quarter to the second quarter. What would you say are the prices for the second half of the year, as we are now in the middle of Q3? Secondly, you have a lower volume delivered in the first half, but in contrast, you have increased production. Could you please elaborate how your stocks are right now and how these compare to recent years? In the demand, you have talked about the weakness in Latin America, specifically in Brazil, but on the other hand, India and China seem to be very strong. What do you think will be the global market increase in potash this year, after we have seen rather strong years also in last year and the year before? Last but not least, what is the negative earnings impact at COMPO due to the ammonia prices this year compared to last year? These were my questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Heine. Concerning the prices, we foresee still substantial price increases in the second half, especially in the potash market, but also a little bit in the nitrogen markets. We have seen, on the other hand, the bigger part of the increase is already in the second half, but we are trying to increase, I would say, in average, $10 to $15 or €8 to €10 here in Europe in the second half, our prices. This is a little bit lower for those products where we have lower contents of potassium in our products. But in general, I would say this will be the trend. So there's a further price improvement to be seen in the second half, and this is also supported when you read the announcements of our peer groups. America has a new price increase of $10. India was increased by $18 recently. So we increased already with most of our customers here in Europe for the second half. So what I said is reality. The other thing, demand and weakness. In general, I take your last question first. I would estimate, when I look to the production figures and the first figures we have seen from the IFA, from the International Fertilizer Association in Paris, might be that the demand has increased in the first half again around 4%. This is my best estimate. Might be that in the second half, this demand increase will no longer be so high. But in total, I think we will see a good increase again also this year, which I personally did not expect. I said some months ago that I foresee more or less, not a stagnant, but a very stable market, and this is a surprise for me personally. So this is also the reason why we could not keep track with this demand increase partly. We lived already in the last 2 years a little bit from our stocks, and so this is the explanation that we try to build up a little bit more stock at the moment for the spring period, and so we delivered a little bit less, especially to Brazil, which is one of our biggest markets, and we assume that we will perhaps not deliver around about 150 to 200,000 tons out of a million this year to Brazil. But on the other hand, we need this material desperately here in Europe, especially also in Central Europe. And at the end of the year, I think we will make up this little decrease in the first half. It was only 150, 200,000 tons. And I think at the end of the year, we will have sold more or less the same volume, but at much better prices in comparison to last year. Mm-hmm. I hope this covers your questions.
I was just referring, could you give a figure what your stocks currently are compared to last year's in potash?
Our stocks compared to last year are more or less the same. They are very low. They are too low. But there's one little hope. Our Silvanet program did not materialize as good as we had foreseen it in the first half. So we will have now overcome the difficulties in mining there. And so from this, we will hopefully get a little bit more volume. But I talk here from perhaps 50 to 100,000 tons. Mm-hmm. You have to compare this with 8 million tons, which in total we sell in this business segment. Yeah?
Thanks.
So in general, I would say the stock position from us and what I've seen also from our competitors is very, very low. And so the situation is dominated by scarcity.
I think you also asked about COMPO, the ammonia effect. In the first half year, the ammonia effect was rather negligible because in U.S. dollars, the ammonia was around about $10 higher than the half year in 2004. But taking into consideration the weaker U.S. dollar, we are more or less on the same level as in 2004.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Martin Rodiger. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have two questions, especially related to the page 13 of your quarterly report. Mr. Bethke, you mentioned that you have seen good demand for potash fertilizers in Europe. On this page 13, you see volumes in Europe in Q2, which are at 1.42, with this is below the volumes in Q1 of 2005.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the reason why the volumes went down in the second quarter compared to the first quarter? This is my first question. The second question, also related to this page 13 of your quarterly report, the prices of potash fertilizers in Europe are also down from Q1 to Q2. Mm-hmm. Are there any reasons behind that?
Yeah. This is your two questions, and please allow me to answer firstly the second question. We have a big differentiation in the structure of our product. We have delivered much more so-called standard material to NPK producers instead of granulated products. And the other thing is we were lagging behind due to the bad weather we had in spring. And this was partly made up in quarter two, as you can see. And in general, I would say in the second half, we will more or less deliver the same volumes here in Europe. Western Europe is a little bit weaker, but Central Europe is much stronger and will be much stronger than we expected. And we also deliver to Poland and to other countries in that region. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the prices is perhaps another thing. In Europe, we had still to make up for some weaker prices, and this was adjusted a little bit later. But you will see it, especially now in the second and also in the third and in the fourth quarter, that there's still a gap between the overseas prices and the European prices, but the gap will close. But there's some room, and when you see, that makes me very positive also for the next year, that 75% to 80% of our product is sold in Europe, we still have a nice potential of further price increases in the potash and magnesium area.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Pascal Spano. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Pascal Spano from Deutsche Bank. Three questions, if I may. First, following on from what you said on prices, could you probably give a comparable figure to sort of your U.S. competitors speaking about a 49% price increase in the first half, probably for the U.S. market? Could you give any sort of figure for the European market, either in terms of received prices for you or the market price you've been experiencing? And then secondly, on new projects, given sort of the buoyant market for potash, we have seen a couple of announcements on new projects over the last couple of months, and sort of some people may fear that this leads into a sort of net surplus situation by 2007, 2008. Is that something that you share in terms of concerns? And lastly, just a technical question. After you've changed your agreement with regard to Fertiva about sort of your ability to collect more than 10 million euros in earnings, how is that structured over the quarter? So once you access the threshold of exceed the threshold of 10 million euros, do you automatically then book only 25% add-on per quarter, or is there a sort of year-end correction booking you take?
Now let me answer your question. Last question. We only book that what we have earned with Fertiva. That is one thing. But the prospects for the second half. I mentioned initially that the prices, the margins for the nitrogen fertilizer are very positive. So you will see probably a further substantial increase in comparison to that what we had already. We should not exaggerate, but we had last year, I think, 10.3 million.
Yeah.
So you will see a nice increase of that figure in the second half. This is one thing. Then you asked for the price increases in comparison to that what our American competitors have done. In Europe, we had a little bit a higher price level when we came into this period due to the devaluated dollar against the euro. So our room to further increase here in Europe was a little bit lower. I would say, in average, we have increased prices in between 15% to 20%. That is one of the reasons, as I said it before, that we still have further room to further increase prices in Europe. But you might know that the earnings position of the agricultural area, of our agricultural customer, is not so good. The nitrogen prices are taking away many things. The agro product price levels here in Europe are not that good. So you also have to live a little bit with the situation of your customers. This was a general policy from our side, not to make this brutal and high price increases, which were partly also fostered by the high increases in the sea transport era. Don't forget, when you compare a price in India today, which was 1 year ago $120, it's now $220, and big of part, naturally, of that increase is taken away by the logistical system. And I think you are...
New projects.
Yes. No, I don't share here your concern of some people. Look, we are talking at the moment, when I look to the global potash market at the moment, of a total consumption between 55 and 60 million tons. And what is at the moment, there are some projects discussed, some incremental increases from PCS, Mosaic, and Agrium, I think 4.5 million tons within the next years to come. And the Russians, Uralkali, I think, has also some projects, and there's another project which is discussed for Argentina. But even if I take all this together and I take the figure of 2% increase, consumption increase every year, then we talk of 1 million tons, which is needed more in the market. And we are now in 05, and the first things might show up in 09, 010. So you see in Argentina, and on the other hand, what the Americans will do, but I think they will not sell more so that they undercut their own price system. This I cannot imagine. So I have no concern. Yeah. No, I have the concern that we manage to keep track with the growing demand in the potash area. And also we in our company think over options how we will participate in this further very attractive potash market worldwide.
Okay, fair enough. So having said that, you must be fairly optimistic with regard to 2006 as well, with the combination of potentially somewhat higher volumes, higher prices, and sort of a better exchange rate.
That's right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Stefan Kipper. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Actually, I got two questions. One thing is we've seen an increase in net working capital. I was wondering if you have something like a guidance for the full year for that figure. That would be very useful. And a second thing, we heard here on Bloomberg, you mentioned that you are planning possible acquisitions and that you had some concrete things on the table. I mean, I understand that you can't be too detailed, but can you give us any information of what possible size of businesses we're talking about and in what areas, in what product areas and what segments this possible acquisitions are going to take place?
Yeah. Please let me start with the working capital, and I'm glad that I can transfer this question to Mr.
Well, actually, Mr. Kipper, I'm sorry, we can't help you here with this. We do not give any guidance for working capital. It's just too difficult, to be honest. And we saw a rise in the first half year in the working capital, which was just due to inventories and due to receivables, and we see this effect caused by the better and higher prices and better operating business. And please excuse, we will not give any guidance for the full year here.
All right.
Yeah, acquisition and I may add cooperation. Both can lead to broader product portfolio or product chances, volumes. We have no idea. This is my first thesis here. To enlarge our portfolio. So we are only looking into the areas where we are already in, which we know, where we have the experience, the competence. And we look into the compo business. It has a high probability, if I may say so, that we finally succeed in getting another or two other companies. But this is no very big volume. So don't be disturbed or don't be anxious. We don't plan here a multi-hundred million acquisition or something like that. This is in the range of the compo possibilities. This is one thing. And naturally, we also look in the salt and in the potash business into possibilities for further cooperation and acquisition. But here it's too early, by far too early, to make a concrete statement. This takes time, and I will tell you and your colleagues when we are so far developed that we can talk about this. Yeah, but these are the areas which we talk about, but you can be sure that we don't plan acquisitions beyond our cash flow and normal possibilities. Yeah?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel that request, the star followed by the two. Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Andreas Heine. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to come back on the spend. You have the statement you have said about the prices in Europe and in the overseas market. Is this a fair assumption that your margin is higher in Europe than in overseas markets, so to speak, that the difference you have in the prices in the overseas market compared to what you sell in Europe are eaten up by the freight rates?
Yeah, Ms. Heine, it depends on the different markets. Look, we have, for example, Latin America. You might know that we have a long-term, very favorable freight contract. And some of the markets, like Brazil, and with further price increases there, they are as attractive as some of the South European markets, like Italy and Spain and so on. So you cannot, but in general, you are right. When I look to our net back from our deliveries to India, you are absolutely right. Then, in general, our European business has better net backs. But it depends, yeah.
And maybe add on this, you have mentioned that you have a product mix change which has affected the price development from Q1 to Q2 in Europe.
Yeah.
Were there also a product mix change in overseas market, or are these two figures, Q1 and Q2, comparable?
They are more or less comparable. Look, we always have also an effect of CIF and FOP and other things which are also not taken care here. It's a basket of many different things, different products, different conditions, and so not every euro or dollar you can take here as really a difference between the two time periods which we look at. But in general, as you said, the netbacks in the overseas business is a little bit lower, also due to the dollar development. Don't forget this over the last years, but there you know that we could make up many of this with our hedging, dollar hedging. And in Europe, we still, as I said, lag behind the international trend, and this gives us a chance to further naturally increase prices in Europe, especially in the next year. But we have already increased in the second half, and this you will also see then in the next publications, I think. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have a follow-up question from Mr. Martin Rodiger. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. I have a question concerning Sativa. Sativa is the only segment where EBIT1 is the same as EBIT2, and which means that the currency hedging effects are included in EBIT1. What is the background for this? And furthermore, the second question, the EBIT1 in Q1 of Sativa was restated. What is the reason for that?
Okay. This is Christian Herrmann speaking. Okay. Normally we say, and this is true for all segments, that the EBIT 2 figure, if it's different from EBIT 1, which is not always the case, it's the same in salt, for example, same in recycling and waste management. But in potash, the EBIT 2 is not reliable because it depends on the non-cash charges in the market value changes. So EBIT 1 is the reliable figure. In Fertiva, it's just the opposite. Therefore, we restated Q1 figures because when we sell products in Fertiva and we send the bill, this is booked as receivable at the current spot rate. If the spot rate at the next quarterly date is weaker, then we have to revalue this receivable again. And this will not appear actually in our P&L later when the money is received, because we have a fixed hedge at the time of booking the receivable. And therefore, in order not to to mislead you here, we from now on have EBIT 1 the same figure as in EBIT 2.
Thank you.
Okay.
And perhaps one explanation for you, why are we not hedging in Vertiva? We have such a big amount of ammonia in that business, which is bought in dollar, yeah. So that there is already a very high degree of natural hedging in that company. Yeah.
Thank you. We have a question from Mr. Gunnar Kors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Gunnar Kors calling from Birnbeck Bank. I have to apologize, but I have to use the handy. I hope you understand me anyhow.
Yeah, very good, Mr. Kors.
First, I would actually like to thank you for this very detailed quarterly report. Again, you provided us with volumes and prices on potash and also on your hedging instruments. I think that really helps to understand the current dynamics of your business.
Yeah.
And then secondly, actually, there's only one question left. It's concerning your earnings guidance, your EBIT guidance for the full year 05 between 250 and 230 million. Does that requires any further price increases you have to introduce in the market, or is it rather on what you have already introduced to the market? And if it is the case, does this margin means rather depend then on the winter business, or why do you have then to provide, let's say, such a margin?
No, this what we have published this time, you know, it's a very brave step to do that, what we have done, Mr. Kors. It's the first time that we are so brave to do that, but we wanted to help you. But and we think we can make this time because the market is relatively stable. Most of our contracts are in the market with prices, so we have a very stable basis to calculate the second half. But naturally, there are positives and some negatives possible. One is the winter season. There is an upside potential for sure if there is an early winter this year. And we have not yet handled through all of our overseas contracts, and also the situation in Brazil is not yet completely clear. There also we discuss a further price increase of $10 per ton. So there is a little bit left, I would say. But so this is a realistic range, I think, which we tried to give you. It's not an optimistic, it's not a pessimistic, it's a realistic. But, you know, we are very, very careful, careful thinking and acting company, yeah?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that a lot, and I hope you're going to be brave also for the following years.
if we are not punished by reality, I think we will do that.
That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Richard Schramm. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just one follow-up question on what you just said on Brazil. If I understood you right, then visibility for the second half and the catching up process you expect here is still not so high. So there is the risk that development might not turn out in your favor. Was this correct? And second point, just to clarify, the serious drought we have seen in some dozen European countries so far this year, has this some impact directly or indirectly on your business development in Europe. Thank you.
Yeah. First question, if I got it right, you asked me whether we have some risky positions in our expectations for the second half. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm especially referring to your overseas business.
No. I think there is, I tried to make it clear that there might be an upside potential from the price side in the overseas business. There are no signs of weaker prices. The last price increase which was published was a nearly $20 price increase in India. And I think this is a good basis, given the general trends of scarceness in the world market, that endeavors might be positive to further increase in some markets prices, also in, including our positions. And we will try to do that in Brazil, for example. This is not included into our expectations for the second half. And the other thing which you mentioned, drought, and also water. We have inundations in some parts of Asia, you know. Now, this will bring farmers and countries to further import grain, fodder for the animals and things like that. Bad thing for those who are in that situation, but in general, this will foster, I think, indirectly also the demand for fertilizers, because the stock situation for the agro products is not very favorable, and the demand is picking up. There are some areas which produce more, like Russia and so, but in total I would say there is more volume which needs to be replaced than more production. So I think there will be further stress on agro products, and you can see this already again in some price trends in the soya bean market and in other agro product markets. So no, there, I don't see it negatively for us who deliver into the agro system.
Thank you. Just to make the point on Brazil again, so I was also referring to the volume. You said that we might increase prices, but does this also then will be connected with the higher volume, or is volume just independent from this development?
No, volume is not in question, because we run more or less at that range of production, and I said in the beginning we have to build also up some stocks, so we cannot strive for higher volumes. We are sold out, if you want, yeah?
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Stefan Kipp. Please go ahead.
Just a quick follow-up question on the acquisition area. If we look at your potash business, possible acquisitions, possible minor acquisitions, is the tendency more heading towards a more horizontally, just, you know, adding new capacity in order to meet your demand, or is it also possible just to vertically integrate or make cooperations, let's say, in distribution of products in certain new areas of the world where you don't have, you know, the market position you have right now?
No, there is a clear decision from our side that we want to be want to add further capacity to our existing capacity in Germany.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have another follow-up question from Mr. Andreas Heiner. Please go ahead.
Once again. First, I'd like to come back to Compo. Sales were flat, and ammonia earnings impact was also flat compared to last year. And you have a cost reduction program running.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you have given an outlook that the earnings will be on last year's level.
Yeah.
Is it something new? Is something running here not as you have predicted at the beginning of the year? And secondly, on acquisitions, you probably know that the salt business for Akzo Nobel, which is not captive used, is for sale. Is that something where you are interested in? As far as Akzo mentioned, they think that they have completed everything of their disposal program by the end of Q1 next year, so probably the discussions are running. And last but not least, could you remind me what the other financial result is?
Yeah, acquisition and sold and so on. Naturally, we look to any realistic and attractive possibility to enlarge our core business here in Europe. And I think this answers your question. More I cannot say.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And Compo, you are right. But in Compo, we did some restructuring, but it's not, when you look to the Compo business, we are talking here of 1-3 million when we talk about restructuring in Compo. Please have this in mind. I think Compo can do further improvement on the cost side. This we have carefully examined, and now we are in the process to implement that. We have taken all precautions and all provisions already this year so that Compo will have a much better start for the next year and the next years to come. But this is also, if you compare that to the general situation in our company, gradually. Yeah, we are talking also here not 15-20 million, but only some millions. But please don't forget that Compo and Fertiva, from our point of view, are more or less a unity, because those companies have so many synergies. And I told you, was dem einen sind Ulis, dem anderen sind Nachtigall, I may say in German, the high ammonia prices and the better margins for the nitrogen fertilizer, because Compo has to buy them, is the reason why the earnings situation of Fertiva will go also, if you have to always start from their given figures, will be considerably better this year. And when I add the Compo business, the Compo results to the Fertiva results, we have a very interesting profitability figure when I confront this with the money which we have invested into those two businesses. But there is still potential to further increase the profitability. And don't forget, we are also working not on acquisitions only for Compo. We are also trying to find long-term suppliers which fit into the broad program for house and garden in the Compo business. Also there, I hope I can tell you not far from now something new. So there is some fantasy also in the Compo business, positive.
And Mr. Heine, your last question regarding the other financial result. These roughly 2 million plus in the first half year, they are caused by unrealized and realized gains in securities, which is more or less half-half.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Thank you. It appears we have no more audio questions. Please continue.
No more questions. Okay. Then, gentlemen, I have to thank you very much for your interest in our company, and perhaps I can add one perhaps also interesting information. I think K+S will do much better this year than last year. And naturally also dividend is one issue which is always interesting for you. And we always made this statement, when we do better, then also our shareholders will be in a much better position. So, but this we can postpone perhaps to our next conversation, which we will have, I think, on the 14th of November. Many thanks once more again.